and welcome to the After the Sermon podcast. This is a Bethany Church podcast, and we're excited to, every week, we get to dive into the sermon through this podcast. My name is Joe, and I'm joined by Tammy DeLau.
Great to be here.
And also Pastor Thad Harless, the man. He's the myth and the legend. So,
wow.
This week was January 7th, coming up this Sunday, right? I hope so. And we're still continuing the series in him through Colossians. And
absolutely.
So far, there's been two messages, been really good. And this is the third one that we're diving into here this week. So Thad, if you want to kind of get us going, and we'll
dive in. So again, just going back to the root of the series and the message, you know, we started not with verse one, so to speak, but we started with the great poem or hymn in regards to Christ and his deity and how powerful that was. And I mentioned it because, again, I wanted to give the rationale there, but there was a quote I gave. As we gaze on Christ, the mind is informed, the heart is inflamed, and the body begins to line up. I just love that because, just like we talked about, you know, we want to start with Jesus. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about him, who he is, his deity, because once we understand that, mm-hmm. everything else is going to flow from within the book and going to go from there. And then David, and talking about in him we walk together, I think it's so powerful because in those verses he talked about, it's, you know, he's asking us to walk worthy of Jesus Christ. And I think if we're honest, we need each other to help us to be able to walk that out, to be able to be held accountable. And so and that
I think in our grow group, even last week, we kind of got into the discussion of, because we hadn't been able to meet for like 3 or 4 weeks, mm-hmm. and we were just, all of us were kind of talking like, hey, this is really good to be back together because mm-hmm. my spiritual life the last 4 weeks has just not been to the mm-hmm. level I want it to be at. And so it was good to just have real conversations and push each other to, mm-hmm. hey, let's walk with mm-hmm. God and walk with each other and hold each other accountable. And that's mm-hmm. what's awesome.
Yeah. And he just did a great job with that. And I think too, it even lends to support for some things that we might hope to do in the future, where we not only have that small group dynamic of accountability, but even deeper levels of relationship with even smaller groups of individuals mm-hmm. where we can talk about things like, so if Tammy and her husband and Rachel and I were in a small group together, there may be things that I don't want to talk about in front of Tammy or Rachel, but mm-hmm. I might talk with her husband about. Mm-hmm. And so we just need to be mindful of that, and we'll be praying about and looking at those things in the future. But again, it's just that idea of walking worthy of Christ. We can't do that alone. You know, we need each other. And so I just think we started off very well. And then mm-hmm. coming to this, this sermon is one of the, at least for me personally, one of the more convicting, just one of those sermons that just truly caused me to pause and reflect. Really? When we talk about this life of being a disciple, that mindset, because it is so countercultural. It is so against how we even think of ourselves or necessarily in our flesh what we want. Mm-hmm. But when you sit down and think about that, it changes your whole mindset of serving in the church, how you serve in your family, how you serve in your community. Mm-hmm. What you say yes to, what you say no to, it really impacts you in all of those areas. And so it's just very gripping.
One thing that stands out to me is the word minister here mm-hmm. that he talks about. I became a minister, and then he talks about how hard it is.
Yeah. I like
you
that.
Have you guys noticed that in your... Because Tammy, you're leading women and, mm-hmm. and discipling women, and Thad, you're doing an entire congregation, it seems like, and staff. So have you guys noticed that, man, this would be so much easier if I just did my own thing? Or
So it's interesting because, you know, you come to church and you experience God, I hope. Mm-hmm. And but there's a lot of things that happen in the church that you may not be aware of. And it can be very challenging things. And there's mm-hmm. great reward in it, but it can be very challenging. And mm-hmm. So I think I try to, if I'm talking with someone who's considering going into the ministry, you know, I try to tell them, you know, make sure you're called, because if you're not called, you'll quit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone to go into ministry and have some false idea of what it is, because you will be called to suffer at some point mm-hmm. or to different degrees in your ministry. I think God, who is either Tozer or Pink that said one time that a minister is not a real minister until he suffered, or Christ won't use a minister fully until he breaks him first.
I've heard that, yeah.
And I can speak to that. I'm sure I still have suffering and breaking to go, but I have been broken and have had my challenging moments in ministry, and it's made me a better person. It's made me better to be able to understand other people's suffering and challenges and hard times and things like that when you have undergone that. So I think it's powerful. And then, when Tammy came on staff full time with us, and again, I don't know. She was on staff even
she's
before,
already.
But officially on staff. Mm-hmm. One of the things I tried to encourage her was, and even to encourage the whole staff, is sometimes, we don't talk about all of the good things that are happening because we're looking at the critiques, we're looking at the challenges, we're looking at where we've gone short, or we're trying to help maybe a negative situation. And sometimes you get so focused on places to improve or challenges or some negative things that you forget about, all the, 95% of things that are going right. Yeah. And it can be discouraging. And so, I don't know, those are some of my thoughts. Tammy, what do you want to add to that?
It's really fun. I collect prayer requests with a few women on Thursdays, and mine was just sitting in the seat and just seeing people's paths and how that affects their present. It's sad. It's really hard to see the brokenness, but it's also exciting to see them clinging to Jesus and see changes happening. So you kind of have to take the good with the bad, I think. But I think you're right. It's so easy to focus on what's hard and not the victories. So. But we've had a ton of victories lately, so that is exciting and encouraging.
Yeah. And even thinking with Paul's life, he had exceptional highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about what a great missionary he was, but think about how many times he got, stoned or beat up or thrown out of town. I mean, if you looked at his record like that, it's like, but we see the greater fulfillment. And I mean, my goodness, look at what has been his ultimate impact, in Christianity. And you would say, man, that was an extremely rewarding, fulfilling. And I've thought about that too with Peter ended up, being crucified, in one sense, if you were present in the moment, you'd say, oh, ultimately, maybe, maybe his life wasn't so successful, right? But we know ultimately that it was. And look now, where we still talk about him. We read his letters, all of these things. And so, and again, he would have had, Pentecost, remarkable moments of fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
But that suffering, it gives purpose. It is fulfillment. It is all those things. But there's, you still have to walk that path.
Yeah. Well, and if I'm honest, the people that I respect the most aren't those whose lives have been easy, but those who have suffered here on the side of eternity, but still claim Jesus is good, God is good, and he is what I need. I know, Thad, you're probably not going to like this about me, but when you were coming and we were praying for you, I begged the Lord to bring us a man who had tasted suffering, because I think it shows up on the pulpit. There's a compassion, there's a humility. And so I'm sorry that you had suffering, but I'm glad that God is using it to minister to us, because it's seen that you understand pain and suffering.
Yeah. Thad wasn't always a nice guy.
Suffered a little. I was really a jerk, actually. arrogant, conceited, all those things. That's a great point, because this mindset, this mentality of what we're looking into is so powerful. And just the idea of, even with the key statement that I gave, salvation is free, but following Jesus will demand greatly of your life. Because I think sometimes people have wrongly confused the difference between the free gift of salvation and the costly, humble nature of being a servant of God. And I think we need to understand that it's not a cheap grace that you've been given.
That's good.
And I won't read it again, but the Bonhoeffer quote that I gave that was lengthy. It's just, sometimes you just can't improve on something, and you just have to read it. And you have to get the full orbed side of that. And so it's just one of those things to where, grace is not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And just understanding that and recognizing it is great. Mm-hmm. But in getting that mindset and understanding that frame so that you can walk that life, I think you have to remember, again, just like we talked about, the the awesomeness of salvation, right? Mm-hmm. The great before and after picture, mm-hmm. I think is how I phrased it.
Yep.
Where in verse 21, you see that we were once alienated, hostile, or hateful in mind, and doing evil things, right? We were enemies of God. We were far from Him. So we were in this place of judgment, and then Christ's action takes hold,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then in verse 22, we see, and He's reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present us holy and blameless and above reproach mm-hmm. before Him. So you went mm-hmm. from being alienated, away from God, separate from the family of God, hostile in mind, hateful in mind, doing evil deeds. You went from that, ready for judgment, mm-hmm. to being reconciled and holy and blameless before God.
That could be some good grow group discussions
right there.
Like,
yeah.
Talking about your past, and man, God is so good. And mm-hmm. reconciliation. Can we talk about reconciliation a little bit?
Yeah. Well, it's not only my past, it's my present. Mm-hmm. My present sin, my present error. Mm-hmm. I get amazed sometimes, you know, and I think about my own struggles and imperfection and challenges. And I'm like, man, God, why did you save me? Mm-hmm. You know, surely, I mean, don't get me wrong, I am so thankful, but mm-hmm. surely you could have saved somebody who would represent you better, mm-hmm. you know? Surely somebody could do this better than I can,
yeah.
And you're just amazed by that, because you think, and, you know, I'm sure everybody has their challenges, but you think of other people, and you're like, man, they're just a better Christian than I am, you know, that kind of thing. But you just think to yourself, sometimes you're kind of lousy, you know, whether it's a mental mindset or whatever. And
I've had to ask for forgiveness much this week.
So it's just when I look at that holy and blameless and above reproach, mm-hmm. because what Christ has done for me, and I recognize who I was, but I even recognize who I am still in my flesh, mm-hmm. and I'm stunned by this. And we can never get over this. This is fuel for our discipleship. This is fuel for our living life and being thankful. I talked about a conversation I had with David's mom and about just, she was in tears, and I don't know, you know, how old she is, but she's one of our seniors.
And she's 21.
21?
Yep.
She appreciates it. she was just in tears, and she's walked with Christ for a long time.
She's awesome.
And yet you can see the impact on her soul of this very truth.
That's crazy.
That this is what Christ has done for me.
How you can live so long and still have that, I don't know, revelation, excitement mm-hmm. for what Jesus has done for you. It's crazy.
And there's something about that. I mean, Debbie and I were talking this week, and I love when I see an older sister the Lord is still teaching things mm-hmm. to, because for those of us who are just a little bit younger, it's good for us to know you don't arrive, you don't plateau, that God is always refining us. He's always making us more like Him. That's encouraging for me to see my sisters in their 7th and 8th and 9th decade saying, I need Jesus in this area. Mm-hmm. So I love when there's honesty and there's transparency and we're allowed to see that.
And Christ teaches us new things, but then somehow He teaches us a greater depth to the things we would probably tell you we already knew. Mm-hmm. I don't know how He does that. That's mm-hmm. a Holy Spirit thing.
Because
I bet you, Miss Baxley, if we would have had a conversation, she would have known mm-hmm. these things, mm-hmm. or at least many of these things. Mm-hmm. But then in reflecting upon it and the Spirit's work on her soul, there's just a greater depth of almost a mysterious knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're wowed all over again, and you know, you can't explain it, but it impacts you even more deeply. Mm-hmm. So it is a learning. It's an experiential learning, and it's hard to explain, but it happens, right?
Yeah.
You've read the same verse 1,000 times, and on the 1,000th time, right. mm-hmm. it meant something different or deeper to you, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what she was experiencing, and it was powerful.
And I think that's something that we can ask for, obviously, because the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who Jesus is, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we should be praying for each other. And mm-hmm. so that's a powerful thing to pray for yourself as you're reading the Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I think with this call to discipleship, this call to live as a servant, this call to live in Christ in this way, I think that's where you get your energy and your joy. Mm-hmm. Although I also think there's a supernatural joy we have in living, in serving, in giving. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've done who knows what type of ministry or missional work. And let's, you know, say it was a hard thing. It was a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But then when you've completed it, you're like, man, I feel good about this. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a good thing that was done. And thank you, God, for allowing me that opportunity. But I think to allow us to get there, you have to have that motivation for what Christ has done, is doing, and will do in your life.
So I'm going to read a quote that is from Pastor Thad, and he's not taking credit for it, but it is so good, and I think it's what he's saying and what we need to hear. When our spiritual self-centeredness, our supposed piety, eclipses the wonder and awesome grace given to us in our salvation, then the fuel for service and humble attitude required for it dissipates completely. Mm. That's good, and I think that's what this is all about. Like, we need to remember what happened, the hope of what we came into, the hope of what we had, and that can eclipse all the good that we're seeing. And as we're seeing us become more Christ-like and become pious, it takes away what we need to do, why we're here. We need to be servants. So I'm giving you credit for that, Dad, because someday, it's 50 years
that'll be
from now,
book.
That needs to be that Harless quote. Yeah. So
when I read that quote, the only thing I can think of is just an old pastor, and the two types of old pastors there are. One is either super cranky and irritable, or the other one is super compassionate and loving. And it's almost like you can see which pastor, you know, he obviously was doing things in the flesh. Maybe, I don't know, not judging,
but
it's amazing. It's a good quote.
That's a very good job.
Hey,
thanks,
man. Every once in a while, a blind squirrel will find a nut every once in a while, something like that. So it's
sounds right.
It's good.
Awesome. So you've got that. We, of course, talked about Paul's scope and just his hope there, which is so good. And you've already pointed out him being a minister, a steward there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting here because we always consider Paul the evangelist, right, or the church planter. And well enough, true he is. Mm-hmm. But here we find out, you know, listen, yes, you see the missional aspect, but it also says he wants to make the word of God fully known. Right? Teaching everyone and bring everyone to maturity in Christ, to see them mature in Christ. Paul isn't just a church planner. He isn't just a missionary. Mm-hmm. He truly wants to see people mature in Christ and to grow into fullness and to present them that way. And I don't think we communicate a lot about that. Mm-hmm. But then you look at our own calling from Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we're told to go make disciples. Mm-hmm. But then in verse 20, that was verse 19. In verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe. And this is always fascinating to me because this idea of teaching them to observe. So it's not just teaching them, giving them knowledge. It's teaching them, showing them how this is done, making sure that they know how to do it. It's that walking with them. It's that both and equation. Because again, you get some churches that are known for, we're the Bible study church. Mm-hmm. Other churches are known, we're the evangelistic church or outreaching church. Well, the way I read this is it should be both and. It shouldn't be one or the other.
Absolutely.
You know, there should be a Bible knowledge going on, but it should be a Bible knowledge that also has application. Mm-hmm. David talked about in the sermon the week before, talking about the application, or he may have used the word experience. It's not just about knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I completely agree, and I think it was well said. He's not saying that we shouldn't have great teachers or we shouldn't be having Bible studies. But it can't just be that. Mm-hmm. It has to be a knowledge we apply to our life. Because I don't know that we honor Christ just by learning what he says. I think we more so honor Christ by learning what he says and then appropriating it or applying it
in
our life. Right.
So I heard through the grapevine. I led a study on Tuesday, and there was a sweet older saint with us. And it was a beautiful time where women were sharing and we were doing Recovering Redemption. And we are challenged, what well do you run to? Do you run to yourself? Do you run to others? Do you run to the world? Do you run to religion, which is self with a choir robe on? Mm-hmm. And so I went around the room and all the ladies shared, you know, really we all can say all four, but there is one that we tend to want to run to as opposed to running to the Lord. And it was beautiful. And these women were just opening up and sharing. And this older saint said she had never been in a study where women were that vulnerable. Mm. And that makes me sad if we sit in studies and we get the head knowledge, but we're not sharing what God is doing. So anyway, I was excited by that. That's the kind of study I want to facilitate, that we're doing both. But it's easy to err on the side of just the head knowledge and not the application. So it was a beautiful thing.
I would say it's easier for me. I love study, to be able to read, to to preach and to do all these things. The harder work for me is to be in a group and press into application, although I also know it's the thing that I truly need. Again, you know, I think about the early Christian church, and what they had was Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected again, before we even had all these New Testament letters, and they were changing the world with that. They didn't necessarily, especially the Gentiles, they didn't have all this background. They began learning it, but that's what they had, and their lives changed, and the world began to change with it. So, again, I am the biggest person on
knowledge
in the world. I am pro.
You have some degrees.
Learning.
I'm
all of that. I don't want anyone to think that I'm not that.
Right.
But at the same time, I have learned I need application.
Absolutely.
I need that working through my life.
I was talking to another lady yesterday who has been involved with BSF and loves it, and she said that's actually easier for her because there's answers and she can disappear. But when she's in a study, the way I'm choosing to facilitate studies, it's harder because you have to be real. But she sees that it's good. So, yeah, I do think we need to have both. So I'm glad we're a church that demands both from our people.
Yeah, reflection is so challenging. It's a different kind of emotional intelligence or learning to where you have to ask yourself, because it's one thing to have the answer. It's another thing to ask how the answer impacts you and how you apply that and just setting in that. It still takes a great intelligence, but to know yourself and to think through that and to share that and then to be vulnerable enough to share it and to see if others have had similar experiences and how they may have begun to receive victory in that and what God's doing in their life.
Well, and I think Matt Chandler does say that if we are 99% known, we're still that 1% the evil one uses. And so we really do need to have relationships where we're transparent and real, and we can be free in those relationships. So,
Awesome stuff. So as you get more into the mindset, again, Colossians 1:24 is, one of my favorite scriptures, right? And I think John Piper was one of the first ones I've ever heard talk about it. But now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church. And in no way is this saying that Christ's work was incomplete.
But when you hear lacking, you have to, it's kind of like
it's
you hear
that.
Yes,
it's jarring.
Wait a minute. Wait,
right?
Jesus was enough.
It's, yes, absolutely. So it's very, very jarring there. But I think what Paul is saying here is, listen, I love you guys so much. I want to show you how precious Christ is, and that I am going to be afflicted. I am going to suffer for you because I love you, and I want you to show you what Jesus means to me. And I'm going to, since you could not have seen Jesus and understood what he went through, let me be a visual example of that and what he has done for us.
Was Paul saying like, look at me, look at my suffering. Now you should be the same way.
I think he was, but I think he was also saying here with this, I am doing this, I'm filling up this for your sake. Not only can you learn by my example, which is true, but also that you can see how beautiful and wonderful and how awesome Christ is. I want you to see how much Christ loved you and how much Christ loved me, and I'm going to suffer so that you can see
that. Incredible.
So like Jesus came and reflected God, and he literally was God, so I don't want to... Paul's suffering, our suffering, reflects the suffering that Jesus did for us.
So John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, this is Jesus praying, talking to God, I've also sent them into the world.
Okay.
Right?
Goodness.
It's this idea that, okay, we are sent as ambassadors. Christ was also in some sense sent as an ambassador. He suffered, they call it his passion, right, all of this. And so we are to be sent just as Christ. And commentators will also talk about the idea that, you know, this is a continuation of Christ's persecution in his body on earth, right? This filling up the afflictions. I tend to lean a little bit more towards John Piper. again, both are right. I don't think either's wrong. Mm-hmm. But I lean more towards Paul is saying, I'm going to show you how precious Jesus is. I'm going to suffer. I am going to show you, give you Jesus with skin on mm-hmm. about what this means so that you can value Christ and so that you can know how beautiful and how wonderful he is. I had another Chandler quote. Every once in a while, I'll go a twofer. And I did with this one.
A twofer. You can't go wrong.
But so his says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is worth living for, yes, and it's worth dying for, of course. But we show it supremely valuable to us when we deny ourselves and take up our crosses to be a blessing to the people who the gospel is calling us to. So it just has this idea of I am going to fill up within myself these afflictions so that you can see how awesome Christ is, so that you can see what he has done, so it can be more real to you. And I do it with joy.
And we should be carrying that cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the stories I told in here, it's one of those tearjerker things, and I had to decide between two stories I was wrestling with. I went with this one, but it's this Indian national evangelist was going to different communities, different tribes, sharing his faith. And so he came to this one, and they beat him terribly, threw him out of the camp. And the chief hears about this, and while he's knocked out, while he's unconscious, the chief comes and looks at this man, looks him over. And when the evangelist wakes up, he's got all these people around him just staring at him, the village, the chief, everyone. And he's like, okay, this is it, right? I'm going to die. And the chief actually says, we want to hear what you have to say, because clearly by the state of your feet, you have a great message to tell us, or you would have never suffered like that, right? Mm. And so they listened, and the tribe became saved. But they weren't listening just because of his words. They were listening because of his suffering. And the chief recognized by the state of his feet that this man has suffered to bring this message to us. He is giving everything to bring this message to us. So how are we afflicted? How are we sacrificing? How are we suffering? So that people would look not only hear the words that we say, mm-hmm. but see the actions of our lives mm-hmm. and hear the gospel for the first time. And
good question. Just punch me in the face, why don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and we just live in such an instant goodness. Society. We have a headache and we pop ibuprofen. I mean, suffering is not something we want to do. Mm-hmm. So
I've always heard that the church, I don't know if I am allowed to say this, but I'll say it and you can correct me if I'm stepping out of bounds here. But the church won't truly grow and have the greatest revival until we get persecution in America.
I think I will say this, historically you have an argument because the church has grown in the greatest capacity when they have underwent some type mm-hmm. of persecution.
Because I feel like people on the outside would look in and see now, like, oh, they're living in cush society. They sit in nice, plump chairs, and mm-hmm. they listen to a sermon, and then they go home, and their lives aren't
really
different.
It's a country
really
club.
Different. Yeah, and
you get
so,
a TED Talk in there.
Yeah,
you
people
get some music
see that,
concert.
And they go, yeah, they're not really sacrificing anything. But then persecution comes, and maybe underground, and then they go, wow, this must be real.
Well, there's circles where the church has looked at, okay, they're driving these nice SUVs, upper middle class mm-hmm. families, mm-hmm. But, you know, they're at all the sporting events, you know, mm-hmm. following their kids, you know, who are they serving?
That
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. more of, it's not so much of the, I guess what I'm saying is, how does that look any different than a country club? You pay your dues, mm-hmm. although, you know,
and
someone said you're 10%, you pay your dues, you get your weekly concert, you get a TED Talk, and you go home and nothing mm-hmm. changes about your life other mm-hmm. than maybe you got some tips mm-hmm. About how to do life.
I just heard a song by Casting Crowns coming in, and I wanted to, and I wish I could remember what it was, but it was all about that kind of stuff. So, and I don't even think we really know what suffering is. I mean, we think suffering here in America is, I don't even know what to say, but it's not
like
real suffering.
Somebody doesn't want to be my friend mm-hmm. because I represent Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think the church, I don't think we're in this state of persecution, at least bodily persecution. Mm-hmm. I do think the ideals of the church will more and more be questioned. Mm-hmm. The concepts, salvation, how we think about family, how we think about sexuality. Mm-hmm. I think these things will grow in conflict with society And I think this will allow us to show some demarcation and difference. And so I think persecution will be there. I don't know if and when ever that would be physical, but I could see a situation where there will be a conceptual, idealistic difference that is more pronounced and less tolerated in the world.
Sure.
I don't want to get into a political conversation, but the extreme diverse ideas in the political conversation that we have in America. Church history, at least Western church history, they run parallel, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just see how the ideas of the church and these ideas, political ideas, how at some point people are going to continue to dive deeper into, well, where are these different ideas? Where are they at? And I'm actually surprised that they have not been more brought to bear and the church is more put on the spot about define what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
It could be our last president was just such a lightning rod in and of himself that it didn't go there. But I could see, depending on how things go in our elections over the next two terms, three terms, four, however you want to call it, with the presidential cycles of the church being more bullseyed and saying, okay, you need to tell us what you think. And I cannot remember this, and I know we're out of time, but there was there's a pastor somewhere speaking, and I think he had said something about homosexuality being wrong. I don't think the sermon was about that. And someone tried to file a hate speech against him.
Sure.
Now, he was not in a church building. It was an open setting. But, boy, that's just, that's one step away from saying, hey, that's hate speech. You shouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you could pass a law on it because of freedom of religion and faith. But you could still be called a hateful person. You know, and so anyways, it could be sooner than we think, being less popular, being typecast of, who knows?
Who knows, but we'll be ready for it.
That's right.
We'll be with Jesus.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Thad, for ruining my life again. And
it wrecks us. Hey, when the gospel wrecks us, it's a good thing, right?
Can we let our listeners know what the following week's chunk of scripture will be?
Sure.
Yes, it's the one immediately right after it.
Okay.
And we just keep diving in there, and it's going to be Christ over philosophy.
Okay.
Which is going to be interesting. And then David's going to have the week after that, Christ over religion.
Okay.
So it's an interesting interplay as David and I will be close, right, in these different things. And could also be controversial.
Good.
In those two messages. So we'll see how those work out. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for joining us for After the Sermon podcast. I'm looking forward to the sermon on Sunday and getting to chat with my grow group about it.
So awesome.
We'll see you guys Sunday.
Awesome.